Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some more challenging words from Jesus. Today we wrestle, at least I do, and I hope that you'll join me, in wrestling with what Jesus is teaching and telling us today. He talks of being his disciple, or more clearly, he talks of those who cannot be his disciple. And he talks about this cost. As he uses these two metaphors in the middle of this conversation about discipleship, a cost that is incurred and weighing that cost. As we wrestle today, I may have more questions for you than answers, but two things that I do want to address so that we can set them aside mentally and proceed with Jesus' words. First, when we think about a cost and learning from Jesus, following Jesus, being his disciple, are we talking about a cost that you and I pay or incur for our salvation? The simple and clear answer is no. We are not paying in order to be saved. We are not giving up something so that we can be forgiven. Jesus makes it abundantly clear, the scriptures make it abundantly clear, that our forgiveness, our salvation, our eternal life in and through Jesus are completely free. A free gift based on his grace, based on the work of Jesus in his death and resurrection, and not based on yours or my work or doing. On the surface, it would potentially seem like Jesus is contradicting himself. But rather, I would argue and encourage us to consider Jesus' words here about being or not being his disciple built upon that foundation of salvation, forgiveness, righteousness, eternal life by grace and by the work of Jesus credited to us, as Romans says, through faith in him and what he has done. So when we today wrestle with and talk about a cost, it is not a cost or a payment for our salvation. It must be, based on Jesus' own teaching and the teaching of the Scriptures, something else rather than that. The second question then that I think often and somewhat rightfully trips us up is Jesus' use of the language of hate. In his opening words in our section today, to the crowd, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, and others, he cannot be my disciple. Does Jesus want us to objectively, literally hate our family members? Again, the clear answer is no. Why am I so confident of this? Because it was just a few chapters ago that Jesus was teaching us to love our neighbor, to show mercy. In the language of the parable of the Good Samaritan, to go and do likewise. And what neighbor is closest to us except our own biological family members? Jesus is not telling us that he actually wants us to hate those around us or even hate ourselves, but rather he's using this term in a comparative sense. This fits with some of the use of love and hate in the Old Testament. It seems to be an idiom that Jesus may be following. And so what does he mean by hate? He means to not put higher than someone else. It's a comparative term again. And who is the comparison to? To Jesus himself. Jesus is not telling us to hate our parents, our children, our spouses, our siblings, or even ourselves. But rather, he is asking us about what cost we may be asked to incur. It may include a relationship. It may include other things as he unpacks this. And so today, we wrestle. I think the basic question that comes to my mind is, what is Jesus asking you, or me, to give up? To let go of? To hold a little more loosely? What is he asking us to sell? Or what cost is he asking us to pay? Three times here in this reading, Jesus uses this phrase, so-and-so, fitting these conditions, cannot be my disciple. Again, the opening one we've begun to touch on, but I want to clarify further. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Is there a relationship that you have that is getting in the way? Jesus talked earlier in Luke's gospel about how the result of his coming, his death and resurrection, and salvation through him and him alone will inevitably result in division even between biological family members. This isn't Jesus' desire. Parents, children, spouses, siblings, friends, co-workers, neighbors, all of these relationships are gifts from God. And yet if they are problematic in our learning from Jesus, if they cause challenges in our following Jesus, if we hold any of those relationships more dearly, more tightly, or to a higher degree than that of Jesus himself, we cannot be his disciple. Even ourselves. What is Jesus asking you or me to give up, to let go of? Is it a relationship that is hurting our walk with Jesus? Or is it something about ourselves? To give up our very self. What does Jesus mean by that? I wonder, and it's quite likely, if he means our physical life. We've seen this throughout history. As devout followers of Jesus, those who trust in him and him alone have gotten to that point of martyrdom. Being asked the question, and the end result being the taking of their physical life. Is Jesus asking you or me to do that? Possibly. I pray not. And I think for most of us in our current context, most likely not. But who knows what will come along our way? Who knows what path God has in mind? Who knows, except for God himself, when our physical life's end will be? Is Jesus talking about that? I think at least in part. But is it only that? I doubt that. Are there other aspects of ourselves that we need to let go of? For you and me, that may be our reputation. Do we hold it so dearly and so tightly that we'll do anything to maintain that even more than learning from, listening to, and following Jesus? Is Jesus asking us to give up our occupation, some other love that we have in life, be it a physical, tangible thing or an activity or something else that we seem to use to identify who we are? again, the question comes, is Jesus more important? The second time Jesus uses this phrase is the very next verse. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If the first statement wasn't challenging enough from Jesus, the second one certainly is. Here, again, if he wasn't referring to physical death in the first line about our own lives, certainly here he is, bearing a cross, as he literally bore a cross on our behalf, for us, for you, for me. Are we asked to do the same thing? Possibly. But as this phrase is often, and I would say rightly used or applied, this can mean other things, even beyond physical death. Suffering, persecution that would lead to a cross of some kind. Is that what you and I are called to bear? To one degree or another, I think the answer for each of us is yes, especially as in other places Jesus tells us to take up our cross. This is something that we should expect to some degree, and yet I know people and you know people today, yesterday, and certainly in the future who have borne quite difficult crosses, suffering of one kind or another, a chronic disease, cancer, and for some, the end of that has even included the loss of physical life. For others, for you and me, it may not be, again, Jesus asking us to bear something along those lines. But what is he asking us to bear, to suffer, to deal with, to persevere through, rather than Jesus fixing or resolving it, at least not immediately? There's a cost. A cost not to become Jesus' disciple, not to enter into his people and know what he has done for us, but a cost maybe to continue. If we are not willing to give up this or that, to sell this or pay that, eventually something else will become more important than Jesus. And that path does not continue down the path of walking with and learning from Jesus. That path continues down our own path, our own way, and not the way of Jesus. As we ponder today and wrestle with this cost, Jesus has one more statement at the end. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. If it wasn't hard enough already, now Jesus seems to include everything else. Be it the tangible or the intangible, the material or the immaterial. What possessions do we have that are getting in the way? What other things do we cling to and hold on to more so than Jesus himself? But the thing that I want you to know, the thing I want to remind you of, just as I remind myself of as we consider these challenging words from Jesus, is that even though there is a cost to continuing to follow Jesus and be his disciple, the cost is totally worth it. For those of you sitting here today, which to my knowledge is many, if not all of you, you already know what Jesus has done for you. You already have seen and reaped some of the benefits, so to speak, of Jesus' death and resurrection. We know his forgiveness. We know his salvation. We know the eternal life that you and I have already beginning here and now, even if we don't yet see it to its fullness yet. We know what the Father has done in giving up Jesus Christ on our behalf. And so for you and me then, to give up this or that, to let go of this thing or that job, whatever it may be that Jesus is calling you or me to today and tomorrow and the next day, the cost is completely worth it. Paul says it this way in Philippians chapter 3. After listing all of the things that he has or was a part of, his lineage, and all of these other things that he would supposedly be able to boast in, he says this, "But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." This is what you and I have. It's not something we've had to earn or pay for. It has been graciously given to you and me through Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, through his work and faith in him. And yet then, along with that, Jesus calls us to give up anything else that would get in the way. And yet Paul reminds us, it is worth it. Or to use the words of Peter, even when Jesus teaches hard things, even when Jesus asks challenging questions, even when Jesus doesn't seem to make sense to your mind and mine, John chapter 6, Jesus has been teaching in John chapter 6 on a very difficult, strange, almost absurd topic. So much so that a number of his disciples leave. Those who had been learning from him say, "Nope, no more. Jesus, you crossed a line. We're out." And so Jesus turns to his 12. John chapter 6, verse 67. Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter responds, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." There's no one else. There's no other way to the Father. There's no one else that brings to you and me eternal life and salvation. There's no other way. It's totally worth it. Whatever the cost, whatever the ask, whatever Jesus calls you and me to do or to bear or to give up, it's totally worth it because of what he has already given to you and me, both now and into eternity. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.